I want to talk to you today about keeping good company. Helen Keller said this, "What we have once enjoyed, we can never lose. All that we deeply love becomes a part of us." Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Today we are keeping good company, both seen, if you look around, look at your good company, and unseen. The scripture tells us that we are surrounded. That word means to be hung around, to be encompassed, to have all around. Even when you think you're alone, you're not alone. Even when you feel like you are alone, you're not alone. Even when you think nobody's watching, somebody's watching. It's important to know who you are surrounded by. I remember several years ago when my kids were much younger, we were at the beach and we were surfing. We had taken our surfboards down and we were having a great day on the beach at Huntington Beach State Park. And I remember the kids, not just my kids, but other kids, they would run around and say, "Oh, look at those dolphin out in the water. Look at those dolphin out in the water." And my son, Grayson, was on his surfboard, and he was probably, 15, 20 yards out. And he was yelling, "Shark! Shark!" Everybody else was saying, "They're dolphin. Shark! Daddy, there's sharks in the water." And there was, the black fin shark. They were running up the coast, and there were hundreds of them in the water. You know what I couldn't do? I couldn't go get him. So what that boy did, he pulled his feet up on the surfboard and he sat there with his knees juked up and he waited until the tide washed him on the beach. What some people thought were dolphins, they were actually sharks. Now the man there, the forest ranger there, told us that they don't bite. They don't bite. What they do is they bump you. Well, I wasn't going to get bumped, So, you may feel like you're surrounded by sharks, or bad things, or your failures, or you may even have a sense of hopelessness that's surrounding you, but this scripture tells us that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Great speaks not only to the amount of something, but the size of something, the number of something. It's important. Cloud points to a position or a location. Have you ever been told to get your head out of the clouds? About every day when I was in school, "Steve, get your head out of the clouds." Well, today I'm telling you to stick your head in the clouds and look around. Look around. Have you ever walked in the fog when it's on the ground? I don't mean a mental fog. I mean literally a fog if it's settled on the ground. Have you ever ridden in an airplane and gone through a cloud and got encompassed by a cloud and you couldn't see anything but the cloud? As high as you can see and completely engulfed by a cloud. That's the position. Rick Renner explains the great cloud as sitting on high stands in an ancient theater. Have you ever sat in the nosebleed section? That great cloud of witnesses. When Rick talks about it, if you read any of his writing, he talks about it like it's in a theater. And an ancient theater, a Greek theater. And the stand in a theater is a half of a circle. The stage is at the bottom, and then the stands, they go from the stage as high up as you can see. Well, when Rick talks about that great cloud of witnesses, he's talking about that high place where people are sitting. I want to say this too about us. As he brought out that illustration, our life is like a theater. And in the ancient theaters, there was a stage, and the players would come out, the actors would come out, and they were called the orchestra. And on that stage, there was an altar, and they would make sacrifices to their pagan gods, and everybody would watch. in our life, we stand on a stage, and we should have an altar as well that we pray to God and that we declare Jesus over and that we thank and we worship Him, and we should allow others to see that and watch. The seats closest to the stage were reserved for the most prominent members of the community. The seats closest to our hearts should be reserved for the most important people in our life, namely Jesus being number one. He should be close to our heart. You know, that word witness, that great cloud of witnesses, that witness is a legal term. Those who have seen, experienced, watched, lived it, someone who can give you an account of an event. Have you ever seen a wreck on the side of the road and you stopped and you were a witness to it? Or an accident on the side of the road and you stopped and was a witness to it? You saw the event take place, so therefore you were able to talk about it. You were able to help with the situation. I would like to think about these witnesses. Are they given witness to what they've seen? Are they just there to testify about what they've been through and what they've seen? Or are these witnesses watching our lives, watching it play out like an ancient theater? I would like to think the answer to that question is both. Let's look into the great cloud this morning a little bit and see who St. Paul, the apostle, listed as witnesses in Hebrews 11. So what I want to do, I want to talk about the witnesses in the faith chapter, which is Hebrews 11, and I picked a few of them. There is a list of names in there that God said these people had great faith. And I want us to look at a few of them and see what we can learn from their lives. The first one is Abel. Now, you may remember Abel. Abel had a brother named Cain. And Abel understood what it meant to give God his best offering. When he went to worship God, he took him his very best offering. Abel was hated by his brother Cain. Cain was extremely jealous of Abel because Abel's offering to God was accepted and his was not. Now, the lesson we can learn from Abel in that little bit of a story, it gives us the foundation that giving is a principle in serving God. Give your best in everything you do. Your money, your time, and your talent. Also this, not everybody's going to love you. And a lot of people will be jealous of you. So, second person is Enoch. Enoch, it says this of Enoch, he pleased God. His actions and stance towards God made God happy. It made God satisfied. His life brought pleasure to God. So much pleasure that Enoch never died. No one had to go mourn over Enoch at a funeral because he never had one. It says this about him. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Now listen. He wasn't a young fellow when he got took away or walked away. He was 365 years old. I mean, he's looking forward to year number 365. But his peers, they were living to be 700 years old. Now, the lesson that we can learn from that, we can live a life that makes God happy and satisfied. Treat others in that way, in a way that makes God happy and satisfied. Because you may be here 1 minute and gone the next. So I tell you, live your life to the fullest. Don't get bound up in the things that's going on around us. There's a lot of stuff going on around us. And people say, you know what, times are bad. Sure they're bad. The Bible tells us they're going to get bad. Jesus is coming back. So don't be surprised. But you live your life to the fullest. Live it to the fullest. Don't let the enemy steal your joy, your peace, your happiness. Don't let him do that. Don't give him that foothold in your life. He's not worth it. We want to live our lives out happy and satisfied. Noah. I love the story of Noah. It is a wonderful story. Noah exhibited extreme faith. That faith was required for him to save his family. How many of you would do anything for your family? Yeah, I would. I'd do anything for my wife, my kids, anything to make sure they were safe and secure. Noah was the same way. His faith was required not only to save his family, but to literally save the world. And he worked extremely hard, and he taught his kids to do the same thing. And he lived by example. He did not hide what he believed. It was on display for everybody to see. He couldn't hide it. There wasn't a building big enough to hide his faith and his work and what he was doing, because it was 450 foot long. It was 70 foot wide. And it was 45 foot high. That's how big the ark was that guy was building. All alone, being jeered at, made fun of, poked at. We don't even know what rain is, and you're declaring it's going to rain. But they all saw. They all saw in the end what was going on, and his faith did prevail. Our lesson is our world is extreme. And God may require extreme faith from us, and you should expect that. One person's extreme faith may be different from another person's extreme faith. I may be a little bit more extreme than you. God may just want you to smile at somebody. That may be extreme for you, especially if you're not a smiler. You should smile. You know, that may be extreme. But God wants us to do that. We need to teach our kids to trust God. They need to see God working in our lives. Our grandkids need to see God working in our lives and us doing the work of the Lord. Nothing comes from free. In this world, nothing's for free. We can also learn, don't hide your faith or your faith work. And I know this to be true and evident even as of yesterday. People are searching for genuine faith-filled people. They don't want to see a phony. They want to see the genuine faith of a person in action. We had a wild day yesterday. It was wild. All I wanted to do was go eat shrimp and grits. I never got my shrimp and grits. Never. Without going into detail, we were chasing a dog around town. Literally running a dog around town. And this young couple comes up out of the blue. I don't even know where they came from. And they said, "You chasing that dog?" Out of breath, "Yes, we are. For 2 hours right now. 2 hours. Well, we want to help." Those people hang out with us for about four hours. They hung out with us. I said, "So what were y'all doing? Just riding down the road and seeing us running? And say, hey, I want to get out and run with those people?" They said, "No. We seen this dog take off down the street and thought, that dog belongs to someone. I'm going to go help those people." And they hung out with us. Lori watched their baby. Just the sweetest little couple. What a wonderful opportunity we had to share our faith. In the middle of all that poison oak and poison ivy, I was praying out loud, "God, I'm highly allergic. I'm highly allergic." That young man came up beside me and I said, "You see all this stuff in this field?" He said, "I do." I said, "I'm allergic to every bit of it. I'm starting to swell, man. And all I could think about is I've got to go get a shot as soon as I get done with this." And I prayed, "God, please, with all sincerity of my heart, don't let my eyes swell shut. Don't let my head swell up. God, don't let me break out. help me to be able to breathe tonight whenever I lay down. And I was serious. I know it's funny, but I was so serious. And I thank God. I woke up this morning, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, thank you, Jesus, I can open my eyes. You know, I'm well, I'm not itching. And, you know, but people are watching, and just opportunities. If you don't want to go out and minister to somebody, God will send somebody to you. Even if you have to go chase a dog for 4 hours, and they see you walking down the road. Man, Sarah. You know, we always talk about Abraham. I want to talk just the 30 seconds about Sarah. She was the wife of Abraham. She was a great helpmate to a man on a mission from God. She trusted her husband to hear and obey the Lord. She was made a promise by God to have a son, and she literally waited 100 years for that promise. She watched her husband take her promise up the side of a mountain to offer that boy up as a sacrifice to God, because God was requiring that of Abraham. And she trusted in that. And she trusted God in that. And she received her promise back. We need to trust God with what He's told us. And I think that's one of the lessons we can learn from her. Trust God no matter what. Don't ever give up, and love your spouse, no matter what kind of crazy stuff they may do. Because sometimes your spouse can push you to the limit. I've been there. Lori's not in here with me today. Hey, Lori bought me this new shirt. You like it? Yeah. She got me this new shirt. It says, Better Together. She's talking about me and her, better together. But I'm sure I pushed her to the limits too. I know I have. I don't have to be sure. I know absolutely I have. Woo, I have pushed her to the limits, probably to the point of jumping off. But through it all, God has been faithful. He has been so good to us. He has watched out after us and took care of us and gave us a wonderful family. The next person I'll talk about is Moses. Moses was born a beautiful baby boy. So pretty. And there was a lot going on in his time. King was killing all the kids, especially the male, but he was so pretty. His mom and daddy had no fear. They took that boy and they hid him. And then his mom and his sisters sent him down the river in a little basket to be plucked out of the river by the Pharaoh's daughter. He was raised in Egypt as the grandson of the Pharaoh. And as he grew into a man, he wound up killing a guy and burying him in the sand. And that incident led him to run into the desert to get away from the punishment that he may have gone to receive. He was given the mission by God to go and lead the Israelites out of captivity. But you know what? He lacked confidence in his ability. He got mad at times. He got extremely frustrated at times. But yet, he performed great miracles. He trained up his successor. And he was loved by God. God loved that man so much that Moses didn't get to go into the promised land. He got to stand on the mountain and see it. But he didn't get to go into it. He was led up onto the mountain where he died. And God himself buried Moses on top of a mountain. God preached his funeral. God was in attendance, and the angels of heaven was in attendance whenever Moses died. So what can we learn from Moses? He was a hideaway. Then he was a stowaway. And then he was a runaway. No matter how close you are to God or how far away you may think you are, God still has a plan for your life. And God wants that plan to come to pass. You know, a lot of people feel like because of their inabilities or their failures that God can't use them and God doesn't love them and God doesn't want to be near them. Well, that is a lie. That's bait that Satan has thrown out. If you have taken that bait today, let yourself off the hook and begin afresh and begin anew. Because God still has a plan for you. He's not giving up on you. And all these people now are in that cloud of witnesses. They're all there. They're there. And we're learning from them this morning. Rahab. I remember coming to church here years and years ago, like 27 years ago. And every time Pastor Carl would say Rahab, he would say, Jane. Jane's sitting right there. And when I said Rahab, she just looked at me. And I don't know. I think it's because she's so brave. She's so brave and confident. Joshua 2 speaks about Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute. Jane just yelled out, "That I am not." But she was, in the book of James, Rahab was considered righteous, not just by her faith, but by her actions. When Joshua was given the instruction to go take Jericho, the walls were there. He sent in two spies. They went to Rahab's house, and she hid them. She hid them away. She was an informant to the spies. She would tell them what's going on. You know, our people have heard about your God. And they are so afraid of him, they tremble in fear of your God. So when the guys came out to look for the spies, she would say, "Oh, they're not here." They were, but they're not here. All along, they were hid on her roof where she tucked them in. So she lied. She was not perfect. But she was considered righteous because of her faith. And because of her actions. Some things we can learn from her is faith can be found in some of the most unlikely places. So do not ever judge people. Don't. It's not good for you. It's not healthy. Maybe you don't feel worthy because of the life that you have lived. And you have bitten that lie. But God loves you and he wants to use you. He hasn't counted you out and he never will. Be brave in your walk with the Lord and quickly get on with his plan for your life. We only have a limited amount of years here. Let's not waste them away. But I love that. Faith can be found in some of the most unlikely places. All of these people had major problems. They were not perfect. They had sin in their life. But God still used them. He worked through them. And he wants to do the same to us. You know, we could do this all day long. We could talk about New Testament characters such as Peter. He's like my favorite in the world. I think I can identify with him. You know, he cussed, he fussed, he fought. But yet he was full of faith. Full of faith. He was walking with Jesus, and Jesus telling him, "I'm going to build my church on you," 1 minute, and telling him he's the devil the next minute. You know? But there's one thing that we can learn about Peter. He was passionate. Oh my goodness. That man had a passion for God, and he held on to it. And then there was Paul. He was in today's time, he would be a modern day terrorist. Killing Christians. And God transformed that man's life. Wouldn't you? Now, the people back in that day, in the know, they knew that Paul, he was killing people. They knew, the Christians knew that Paul would come out and kill you if you were a Christian or imprison you. Now, wouldn't you have hated if you were in church and all of a sudden the pastor stands up and says, "We have a guest speaker today. Come on up here, Paul." Now, wouldn't that just kind of freak you out a little bit? That's the guy who's been killing everybody. It just goes to show you how God can transform a heart. God can change a heart. Nobody's counted out. You know, we could talk about this all day long. We can remember those who've gone on ahead of us and are sitting in that great cloud of witnesses and learn from their life. I want to just call out some names that I was thinking about. I want to call out Kat Grimsley's name. Miss Kat is sitting in the great cloud of witnesses now. She used to sit right over here behind Joe. She made the best chocolate chip cookie. She made the best deviled egg sandwiches you could ever eat in your life. And she could pray a mountain down or a mountain to move. And when I think about her life and what she left me her recipes. And she left us knowing that we knew how to pray. Pray, pray, pray. Frank Moore. I met Frank when I was 18 years old. Gosh, what a funny guy he was. Frank is Charlie's husband who went home to be with the Lord, and he loved to sing the old hymns. And he loved to watch my kids, even though he couldn't see them, because at the point of life, whenever they were old enough to go over and visit with Frank, he had gone blind. But he loved for him to climb up in the bed with him. He was hooked up to all those machines. And I remember my kids were, Frank had lost the leg to diabetes. And he'd go into the hospital and say, Frank, we got to take your finger off today. And he'd come out and they'd take half his arm off. You know, he's just, but that man never got discouraged. He always was happy. He always was filled with joy. And his head was slick bald. And I remember my little boy, Grayson. He was over there one day, and he was praying for Frank to get his leg back. And he wanted Mr. Frank to grow his leg back. God was going to do that miracle for Grayson, you know. And so every time Grayson would go over, he'd peek under the cover. I said, well, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking to see if his leg's growing back. Well, Frank died. He did. And all these little children that Frank had imparted to in his life, they loved that guy. I was with those kids when we got the news. There was like 50 of them, six and down. Those little children fell on their face and start crying out to God on their own. Nobody asked them to. Just when they heard the news. And lo and behold, if Frank didn't come back. Frank came back to life after, I don't know, it was a long time. It was long enough that he should have been gone. But he came back, and he told us, he says, now listen, he told Charlie, he said, listen, when I leave in 2 weeks from now, do not call me back because I'm not coming. The place I was at was wonderful. I could feel the angels brushing by me, Charlie. I won't come back, honey, and I'm leaving in 2 weeks. And do you know that man's hair started growing? When he died, he had hair on his head. But I learned from Frank. Take the time to laugh and sing. Keep the joy of the Lord in your heart no matter what. Keep it there. MC, the General Williams, is with the Lord. He's in the great cloud of witnesses. He was a builder. He was a businessman. He was a father, a grandfather, and he was a good friend. And he would say to us, prepare to be a blessing. Prepare. You build. And you mentor others. Lerone Jackson, a dear brother of mine, a wonderful brother of mine, he served here. He was our usher for years and years and years. And the day he left, our hearts broke. But we learned from him what it means to be in service to God, to your family, and to your church. Ernie Hollett, my trucker brother, sitting in the great cloud of witnesses watching us today, cheering us on. I remember one time Ernie called me up. He says, listen, I'm about to go on the road. Think Grayson want to ride with me? I said, sure, he'd like to ride with you. So I dropped Grayson off on the interstate. Ernie picked him up and they took off, and they had been riding and riding and riding, and he said, Grayson, what would you be doing right now if you were home? He said, I'd be eating, because I'm about to starve, Ernie. You know, Ernie was just used to getting it down the road. But I learned from him, love your wife. You love your wife. He told me, Don't you take for granted drinking a cup of coffee, sitting in the swing with the Lord. Don't you ever do that, Steve. What a good friend that was to minister to me in that way. John Server, good old John. Police officer, a changed man. He was the first one who started a security team here at our church. And and because of that, our insurance was changed up at the church, and we have helped dozens of churches in our community with their security team because of John. That man was a protector. And what I've learned from him and that great cloud of witness, protect others. Do what's necessary, Steve, to protect others. John Robinson, I will just say this. John, he lived to be like 94 years old. We gave him a birthday cake, and we thought we'd put 94 candles on it. We about burnt it down. That fire, I thought we was going to get an extinguisher to put it out. Poor old John couldn't blow out the candles. It's like, blow, John, blow. He couldn't do it. But John would say, read the Bible and read it as fast as you can, as many times as you can, over and over and over. Don Morrell, do you remember Don? Don was a good brother. Don taught me how to pack a cigar pipe. Don was a mess. Every time a ball game would come on, he would call me up. Steve, you watching the ball game? I wasn't, but I'd have to turn and watch the ball game so we could talk about it. Don had a drinking problem, though. He loved to drink. And he would come sit in the church drunk. He would. And everybody just loved him. They just loved on Don. And the Lord got a hold of Don's heart, and he gave his heart to Jesus. Didn't mean his life was always easy. He was a wonderful, wonderful brother. Wonderful brother. And he would say this to us, God never gives up on us. Sit down and enjoy a good baseball game. Take that time to yourself and enjoy your life and enjoy God. Sandra Matthews, my sweet sister. Gosh, I loved her. These people, they're not gone. They're in the cloud of witnesses above us, and that cloud is growing and growing and growing. And one day, if we stay true to our calling, true to God, we'll sit in that cloud as well. But I believe she would say, enjoy a good long drive. And seasons change. Her favorite was winter. And be of courage and don't give up. Inga Jacob. Lord help. When Inga died, she came to me before she died. She didn't come to me after she died. But Inga was very peculiar in her ways. She had to be buried within 24 hours. And she came to me and she told me, she said, I'll haunt you, boy, if you don't do that. She just said it, I'll come back and haunt you, Steve. You're going to have to do that. And I said, oh, Inga, you need to tell your family. Darling, you need to tell your family. I'm not the one you need, I'll help, but you need to really talk to David and Ulrich. You need to let them know. Oh, I'm telling you. And you tell them. My goodness. So when Inga passed, David was standing there, and I said, buddy, I think we need to talk. We don't have a lot of time. He said, she got you too. I said, yes, she did. Well, we couldn't get it done in 24, but we got it done in 36. That's fast as we could go. Sorry, Inga. But Inga had a way of picking up people and bringing them to church. It did not matter who they were or where they were. She had a way of getting them and bringing them to church because she saw the value in their life. She even, one time it was my birthday. I think I was turning 40, I think. And she brought an opera singer. I don't know where she got this lady, but she was an opera singer. She brought her and sang at the church. Nobody was here except us. And that lady sang her heart out. But Inga would say this. I know, just learning from her life. Every person needs to hear the gospel. Every person needs to hear the gospel. Don't count anybody out. Everybody's important. Tell them the gospel. Speak the gospel. And then Tom Street. He didn't go to church here, but you know him. I'm going to tell you how you know him. Remember all the signs that used to get put out here? on the front of our lawn, those encouraging signs. Well, Tom, he was one of the people who got sick with COVID, and his wife got sick at the same time, and he passed away. Well, they memorialized him yesterday after all those months. And all I could think about yesterday was, we need to be a sign. We just need to be a sign for Jesus. Be a sign. You know, because he put out signs all over the place. That was his ministry. You know, it was his ministry, and that's what he did. I do believe that one day we will all be there. And we should do our part to encourage one another, to lift one another up, to love one another, to be patient with one another. Because you know what? We're all different. We don't all think alike. We don't all have the same ideas and the same views. But the one common thing that binds us together is the blood of Jesus Christ and our belief in that. That's what holds us together. That's what I love about this church. It's that faith that holds us together and binds us together. Amen. So today, know this. I mean, I could go on and on. Mert and Red. God, they're such... They were mean as snakes when they were alive. But you know, they taught me how it was to fight and then move on. That's my grandparent. My granddaddy Osborne, he would clap his hands. He would say, worship while you work. Worship while you work, wherever you're at, worship. Grandma Sparks, she's up there cooking the lamb supper in heaven right now because she could cook. She could cook, but she went home to be with Jesus this past year. And we got something to look forward to. Heaven is so real, and it's so near to our heart. It's not somewhere far off. That word, surrounded, it also means to be hung around. And if you think about it like this, as you stand up, we're going to go home. To hang around, you hang a necklace around your neck, right? And that great cloud is like hung around us, close to our hearts. That's why it's so important to read the Word, because we are to learn from the people that's in this Word. They're real. It happened. They weren't perfect. They were genuine. Amen? Well, I do appreciate you coming out today and being with us and worshiping with us. I want to pray and bless you as you go. And as you go, please continue to remember Glenn Weaver in your prayers and Miss Judith in your prayers and Eileen and Precious. Remember them in your prayers as you go. And ask the Lord to put somebody in your life that you can be a witness to. Ask Him to do that. And then love those people. Father, I just bless you today for your goodness and your grace. I thank you, Lord, for being here and the word that you've given us. I ask that we take it and apply it to our heart, Lord. And may we recognize, Lord, that we're not alone, that, Lord, you are with us. And also, Father, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that watch and look, Lord, and speak to us, even though they're not here. I bless you today, Father, and I bless this congregation in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.